Good morning. You know the scripture that says, be prepared in season and out? Comes to life when the pastor texts you when you wake up and say, hey, how do you feel about preaching today? But you know, God does work in mysterious ways, and it's just a reminder, you never know what you're going to wake up to the next day. So be prepared. And, you know, along those lines, God really laid a message on my heart as soon as I read the text from Anthony this morning. And I don't know who it's for, but usually somebody needs to hear a message when one's laid on your heart first thing. So the title of today's message is Life is Hard. So before we dig into God's Word, let us open with prayer, and we'll see what the Lord has for us today. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the beautiful weather. I pray for our pastor and all those that may be ill today, that you would be with them, heal their bodies, that you would be with those that are not able to be here because of health today, Lord, that you would comfort them, and I pray that you would speak to us through your word today, that we would leave here knowing more of you and feeling your love and the peace that comes with our salvation in you. In Jesus' name, amen. So life is hard. You know, we experience a lot of difficult days in our life, sometimes difficult circumstances. But one thing I've learned along the way, as people, we tend to sometimes use those difficulties or that sadness kind of like we wrap ourselves up in it. We want to wallow in it sometimes. You know, I think about the plants. You know, you can take good care of plants and make them flourish. You can give them the fertilizer they need, the water. Like last night, you don't even have to. God will send an unexpected shower to water the plants. You know, what happens if you put a tarp over that plant? You know, all the nourishment that it needs, it can't get. What if you decide to just put a tarp over that plant and then go put your Miracle-Gro on it? It all just kind of shields off to the side because you've wrapped it up. And we're the same way a lot of times. Sometimes hard things come our way, and we decide just to wrap up in it. And sometimes, you know, maybe the purpose or the good that God wants to bring through it can't get through because we just shield it out. So, keeping that in mind, you know, I want to talk today about the healing that's offered through Jesus. If we allow him to reach our heart, to reach through the difficulties of life and touch us. And I'm going to start in Psalms 139, chapter 139, verses 23 and 24. Some of you probably know this scripture. Maybe it'll come to life in a new way today. It's always been a particularly special verse in my life. Let us read the scripture, starting at verse 23 of Psalms 139. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. So when we look at that scripture, you know, it talks about knowing my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And in the world of metallurgy, smelting precious metals, there's a term known as trying the metal. And what you have to do before you get to try the metal is you have to melt it down. You have to break it down. You know, if we put ourselves in the place of that precious metal, as it's going through the furnace, you know, the furnace is a violent process. It puts that metal under extreme heat and strain and breaks it down. But you do that so that you can make something pure on the other end. And as that metal, as that gold, that silver, or precious metals are melting down, the impurities rise to the top. If you've ever seen a picture or a video of metal melted, you'll see some it looks almost like fluffy dust that comes to the top of it. It's called dross. And that's all the impurities working itself out of the metal coming to the top. And the metalsmith will sweep that off, get rid of it. And then they try the metal. By trying it, they look at that melted metal, that molten metal that has been through the furnace, and see if they can see the reflection. If they can't see the reflection, they know it's still not pure enough, so they put it right back through the process. And life is the same way with us a lot of times. A lot of times it's during the difficulties of life, the furnace of life, if you will, that our impurities can come to the surface. So we can let those hard times work for us and let us come out stronger on the other side, better on the other side. Or we can wrap ourselves up in that tarp and just kind of want to wallow in it, fight against the process. So, you know, that leads me to the question of, have you had some bad things happen in your life? Or have you done some bad things in your life? Have you caused pain to others? Have others caused pain to you? And maybe you can say, it's not even my fault. I had bad examples that resulted in this. You know, we like to do that a lot of times. We like to say, it's not my fault. But if you really want to get down to the heart of the matter, we only have control over our actions. We can't control what anyone else has done to us, will do to us. We can be responsible for how we respond to a situation or how we act. That's really the only thing you have control over. So today, if you've experienced hard times or you're experiencing hard times, what are you going to do with it? That's the question. Are you going to let it work for good, or are you going to let it just continue on? So we can use our experiences, as I said, to hold us back or to let us grow. And as we look at forward to, we're going to also move into 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But before we do, I just want to impress upon you, you know, the importance of taking responsibility in your own life, in your own faith. Salvation is a free gift. But, you know, it doesn't mean that we don't have any responsibility to grow. It doesn't mean that we don't have any responsibility in that process of being saved. And let me just kind of get into 2 Corinthians, and I'll explain a little bit about what I mean by that. So if we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 17, going to 21, at the end of the chapter, it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him," meaning Jesus, "who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." There's a lot in that scripture. But, you know, I'm just going to kind of go through it one verse at a time and break it down. You kind of explain what God has spoken to me through these verses. It talks about being a new creation. And what does that mean? Well, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, it means that you need to accept him. Accept the payment he made on the cross by dying to pay for your sins. Because you see, well, heaven is a perfect place. We can't really imagine that in our human minds, because we're surrounded by so many struggles. We're surrounded by so many imperfections in ourselves and those around us in life. But heaven is perfect. God's word tells us this, there's going to be no sorrow, no sadness. So, you know, if I go through life, I haven't, by the way, but if I did go through life and only made one mistake, let's say I just made one bad mistake, and it wasn't even that bad, you know, maybe I just told one little white lie. Maybe I didn't speak up when I felt prompted to, and it was sin for me. Would that make me imperfect if even just one bad thing happened? It would. So if God let me into heaven because I had a mostly good life except for that one tiny little speck, that tiny little speck would make heaven imperfect, even if it's just the smallest amount. So that creates the problem for us. That's why Jesus had to come. Jesus lived the perfect life. Jesus was God's son. He didn't do anything wrong, didn't deserve to die, but he willingly went to the cross and died to make that ultimate sacrifice for you and for me, for the whole world, trading the perfect for the imperfect. So if you want to be a new creation in Christ, all you have to do is accept him as your Savior, acknowledge that you're a sinner, that you're imperfect, and ask him to be the Savior of your life. And if you've already made that decision, you know, becoming a new creation can also take on a new meaning for us today, because there's a lot of us that did feel Christ calling us and ask him to be the Savior of our life, and then we just sat there. Didn't do anything else. Just sat there. And God calls us to more than that. So if you have made that decision, are people able to look at you and see the difference in you now versus before? We should be a new person. And it goes on in verses 18 and 19 to tell us that, explain that Jesus did come in human form to show us the way, to pay the price for us, to cover our payment and purchase our entrance to heaven. So when God looks at me, he no longer sees sinful Dwayne. When he looks at me, he says, "Oh yeah, I recognize you. You're my son, because I'm now an heir, covered by the payment of Christ." When God looks at me, he says, "Yeah, your payment's been paid in full. Come on in." That's the beauty of what Christ did for us. We can't do it on our own accord. It's free. And so many times we try to put stipulations or regulations on, or rules on, you know, what a good and a bad person is. It doesn't matter how much good we do, it's never going to earn our place in heaven. Now, out of the gratitude of my heart, out of the working of the Holy Spirit in me after Christ has come within me, it makes me want to go out and tell others about what Christ has done for me. It makes me want to go out and live my life for the Lord. It makes me want to be that new creation. And if we keep looking at this scripture in verse 20, it talks about us being ambassadors for Christ. It says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us." So we've secured our place in heaven. Christ paid the price for us. But you know, by becoming that new creation, it says here that we are now ambassadors. I mean, if you think about, what does an ambassador do? An ambassador goes and represents someone in a new place, right? Here in the United States, we have ambassadors to go to other countries. And they're there to represent us, to represent our country. We elect ambassadors to go to our nation's capital and represent us in our country's governing. But you know, so often, as ambassadors, I mean, what would happen if we sent an ambassador overseas? And they never really got to the work. You know, they just wanted to enjoy the tourist events, or maybe they just wanted to have an easy life. They didn't want to go through the discomfort of learning a new language or learning a new culture. They just kind of stayed inside the embassy and never even got out and met with anyone, never did anything. Wouldn't be a very good ambassador, would they? Matter of fact, it would be ineffective. Some may even call them a leech, just sucking up the resources that were provided for them without ever fulfilling their responsibility. And it's the same with us. I mean, we're ambassadors for Christ. So ask yourself today, are you living like an ambassador? Or are you just kind of living for yourself? And then in verse 21, it really sums things up for us. It says, "For he made him." For God, let me just read this to you as the meaning says it, paraphrasing. "For God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for," insert your name there, "for Dwayne, that Dwayne might become the righteousness of God in him." And oftentimes, you know, I talked about how we will shield ourselves from what we need in order to grow. Sometimes I look at myself and I say, "Oh, you just made so many mistakes. Who do you think you are? How can you even stand up here in front of the church and talk to people about God's word after all the bad things you've done in your life? Hey, how about all the bad thoughts and all the slips of your tongue that you may have even had this week? How can you get up there in front of anybody else?" You know, the enemy is looking for ways to tear us apart. When God looks at me, he no longer sees me. He sees Jesus. He sees the righteousness of Jesus. And, you know, the last part of that, where it talks about being the righteousness of God in him, what Jesus did, Jesus justified us. And, that's a funny word, justified. And I like the illustration of breaking it down. I heard a pastor say one time that it's Jesus made it so that it was just if I'd never sinned. You're justified through Christ. And we need to live in that freedom. And, oftentimes we're held back from being ambassadors. Sometimes people are held back from even receiving Christ as their Savior, because they feel so tied down, so weighted down, so trapped by what they've done in life or what they've experienced in life. And it doesn't matter what hardship you're facing, what hardship you have faced. It doesn't matter what you may have done to others or what they may have done to you. You can live in freedom. Starting today, starting now, either by accepting Christ as your Savior or by accepting your position in the church that Christ died for. Christ didn't die so that you could live in bondage for the rest of your life. Christ died so that you could live free, so that you could live an abundant life full of the blessings that he offers. So, some of us may have a decision to make today. How are we going to leave this place? Are we going to leave this place in bondage, beat down, wrapped up in pain? Or are we going to decide just to leave it all at the feet of Jesus? Are we going to decide to say, "Jesus, you were enough. You were enough to cover even me, even what I've experienced, or maybe even what I've done." So I know that today is considerably shorter in a message than what you're accustomed to with our, pastor, but this is the message God laid on my heart. So I'm going to go ahead and call the choir to come back up to close us, close our service. But as they're coming, I'm going to read something to you, something that God laid on my heart. And before I do, I'm going to talk about a word called repent. I was so happy. I had to smile today as I was listening into the little the younger kids class. I heard on their video they were talking about explaining what repent meant or what repentance is. You know, when you repent of your sin, when you repent, you're just saying, "God, I'm going to do a U-turn. I'm going to go the other way. I'm no longer going to live this way. I'm no longer going to live in sin. I'm no longer going to wallow in the hard times that I'm facing, or the sadness that I feel." So what I want to read to you is what I had written in the margin of my Bible here. It said, "Repent. Become new. Live differently. Let go of the old sin," or "let go of the old sinful person. Jesus came as God in human form, and he set the example. He lived the perfect life. He gave his life as a payment for our sin. He purchased a place in heaven for all who will receive him as Savior. Those who are saved become his ambassadors, telling us of his justified truth. We are free from sin and condemnation.
Amen.
So the question you have to answer today is, how are you going to live? Are you going to live a justified life or a life of condemnation? If you don't know Christ as your Savior, I'll be glad to talk to you and pray with you and show you how right now. I mean, it's really simple. It's not complicated. You just have to have the courage to come forward or come talk to me. And if you're dealing with something hard, then lay it at the feet of Jesus today. Don't carry it out of here in bondage. Leave here free. Walk in a newness of life with Christ. Whether you've known him as Savior or not, you can live a free life with Christ.
Amen.
So as they sing Come, I'm going to ask Will or anyone that feels led to join the prayer team today to come forward. We're here to pray with you. Just come forward.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care and God bless.